He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's Pastor John Twitchell as he delivers this week's message.
This is not in my script, and I've not practiced it. With this handy-dandy Ronco Vegematic vegetable slicer, you can take any vegetable and slice it, dice it, smash it, mash it, whip it, chip it, and spit it out into the finest tossed salad you've ever experienced. I still have it. You didn't know, did you? I still have it, huh? All right. Dad, when you listen to this on the internet, make sure Doug gets a listen to it, because he'll appreciate that. That was from a high school youth group skit that we did, and it's kind of been running through my mind all week, but I haven't actually tried to wrap my mouth around it, because I wanted to just see if I could do it cold. So, the things you learn, and then they just stick with you, and you're stuck with them, right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? You never know what gets stuck in there, what you waste space on. Infomercials, though, in all seriousness, we've all seen them, from hot booties, microwavable slippers, right? To the Orgreenic frying pan, from the Slice-O-Matic to the perfect pancake, from the Ronco Showtime rotisserie to the Snuggie blanket. Snuggies, there's something that never should have, anyway. But it seems that there is no task, there is nothing that you would want to do in this world, there is nothing that a made-for-television product could not somehow make better or easier for you, right? Amen. And there's somebody out there willing to sell you whatever it is that they can use to make your life better. Now, I want to be clear about two things this morning before I go any further. First, please, please, please hear me say these two things if you hear nothing else. Number one, I am not comparing the gospel with the infomercial products that tend to never live up to their hype, right? You understand that. The gospel will never disappoint. It will never wear out. It will provide more than what you anticipated, unlike most of the things when you open the box and they're not quite what you thought they would be. So, and besides, the gospel you don't have to pay shipping and handling for. And the second thing I want to point out this morning is I'm absolutely certainly don't want you to think that I'm comparing the Apostle Paul to some late-night television huckster who's out to get you to part you with your hard-earned cash, right? Okay? So we got those two things understood. However, there's one element of the television infomercial that we can learn from today, and I want to just grab onto that one element. It's one element, it is consistent to every television infomercial that was ever written, ever produced, ever put on TV, and it is one element that the Apostle Paul utilizes, in short, in his letter to the Colossians. You know what it is already, because you've read your bulletin and you know what the sermon title is. Say it with me. But wait, there's more, right? Every infomercial I have ever seen has contained those four magic words. But wait, there's more. You know how it is, right? I mean, you've been watching for 10 or 15 minutes already. I don't know, you can't sleep. I'm not sure why it is you're watching, but you're watching. So you've been watching for 10 or 15 minutes, and they've actually kind of got you almost convinced, right? You're like, $24.95, shipping and handling, maybe. And then you wait for those magic words. But wait, there's more. And when they tell you about the extra add-in they're going to throw in, sometimes somehow it seems like a no-brainer, and you're ready to make the phone call and get it done. Here's what I want to suggest this morning. Is that we have often failed to properly present the message of holiness as a positive add-on to the gospel message. All right? Nazarenes, this is important for us to hear, but Christians far and wide, this is important for us to hear. The unfortunate tendency of many churches is to focus on salvation, and we talk about salvation as a ticket to heaven or a get-out-of-jail-free card or whatever image you want to use. And then we kind of get to the end of the presentation and we talk about holy living as though it's some sort of unfortunate obligation that comes along with salvation, right? There's a catch to all of this goodness I just told you. Instead of promoting holiness as the wonderful blessing that it is, We feel as though we've somehow participated in some sort of awful bait and switch tactics. We tell our friends about the good news of justification, about forgiveness of sins, and we get them to accept that message. And then we feel like, oh, by the way, I've got to tell you about this other thing. There's this thing called holiness, and we kind of expect you to do these things. And we get to the end. There's this catch, by the way. There's this other thing, sanctification, holy living. And when we do this, we run the risk of letting holiness become the best kept secret of Christianity. We forget what it really is, and it's something that we ought to be more willing to share. And so as you listen to our lesson this morning, you're going to hear Paul's perspective on holiness, but Paul doesn't present it as a catch. He doesn't present it as a secret obligation. It's not a, oh, by the way. He presents it as a blessing. And he doesn't want anyone to miss out on it. He doesn't want anyone to miss out on the fullness of salvation, not just salvation in the ever after, but salvation for the here and now. Paul doesn't want anyone to stop at justification. But instead he says, but wait, there's more. It's great. Let me tell you about it. So with that said, I invite you to hear our scripture lesson today from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If you open your Bible and follow along, keep it open when you're done following along. Otherwise, obviously, it's on the screen, and we'll have it there as well this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring up from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May God add his blessing to the reading of his words. So Paul, by the way, you probably know this, but the Apostle Paul is kind of notoriously verbose in his writing, and you can't preach a sermon out of Paul the same way you preach, say, one of Jesus' parables. So I'm going to be doing a little bit different while we work through the book of Colossians. It's going to be a little different preaching style for me, and give me a little grace while I work my way through a different style of preaching and teaching for me. We're going to kind of dig through Paul's writings a little bit in kind of more of an expository or a teaching sense during this series. And we're going to go back through the passage this morning in sections. And so I'll highlight things. You'll see them on the screen, or if you've got your Bible open, you'll be able to follow along and see the things that I'm pointing out as we go. In verses 1 and 2, you kind of see the standard format for a letter. This is how letters were written then. Verse 1 tells us who the author is, that Paul is writing the letter, that Timothy is with him. And then verse 2 tells us who the letter is addressed to, the saints, the holy people, the brothers and sisters in Christ. Catch this point. This is fundamental for the point I'm going to make later on. Paul is writing to Christian people. He's writing to the brothers and sisters. He's writing to people who've already accepted Christ and the message of the gospel. And what we discover is he's actually writing to a brand new church in the city of Colossae. And when we take a look at verse 3 and 4, it becomes apparent that Paul's actually never met these people. He's heard about them. And if we keep reading, we discover that Epaphras, their servant, had been the one who had brought the gospel to them, and Epaphras came back and told Paul about them. But he's never met them, and so we suspect that kind of the primary purpose of this letter is for Paul to outline for them the core truths of the gospel in a written format, for them to get word right from Paul, if you will. Paul thanks God for them. Paul thanks them for their faith, and he thanks God for the way in which they love all of God's people. And verse 5 tells us about the source of this faith and love that Paul's thanking God for, the faith and love that springs up from the hope that is stored for them in heaven, from the true message of the gospel they've already heard. And then Paul does this great thing in the next little section. It's kind of like that sermon I gave you back after General Assembly, only Paul like condenses it down into two sentences. But he tells them about how the gospel is springing up all over the world, how the kingdom has come near all over the place. And he doesn't tell all the stories like I did when I came back after General Assembly, but he's encouraging them. He wants them to know that they're not alone, but that the kingdom of God is springing up all over the world. But if you jump down to verse 9, you're going to get to the central point I want to make this morning. Let me read verse 9 for you, just this part again. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Did you catch it? These are saints. These are Christians. These are people who have heard and accepted the gospel message. They have their ticket to heaven, if you will. They have their get out of jail free card. But Paul seems to be saying, but wait, there's more. And I'm praying for you so you get the more. Paul and Timothy have not stopped praying for the new believers. There's something more for them than simply hope stored up in heaven. Their faith and love, while vitally important, do not seem to be the entirety of what God has in store for them. Instead, we read Paul is praying continually they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Where does the knowledge come from? From the wisdom and understanding that is given by the Spirit. You get it? This is a holiness message, isn't it? Paul is praying that these new believers will be filled with God's Spirit, that they will be sanctified, that they will receive everything God has for them, that they will come to a full understanding of God's will for their lives, holy living. And now here's the point. This isn't a gotcha, right? Paul isn't presenting this as a gotcha. This isn't a, oh, by the way, you have to do X, Y, and Z. Paul doesn't say, oh, I'm glad you're saved, and now that you're saved, you need to promise not to smoke, not to chew, and not to go with girls who do. This is not a bait-and-switch tactic on the part of the early evangelists. It's not that holiness is a secret obligation that you don't get to find out about until after you've paid your dues and taken your membership vows. Paul wants to make sure they don't miss out. Paul wants to make sure they don't miss out on any of the blessings, the fullness of a life in Christ, that they get everything God has to give them. Paul doesn't want them to only get the one Ogrinic fry pan, because you get two Ogrinic fry pans, right? Paul wants to make sure they get all the blessings of salvation, that they'll be filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit will give them wisdom and understanding, and that will lead them into a knowledge of God's will. And then Paul goes on. He goes on to expound upon the purpose of the filling. He wants to tell us what the knowledge of God's will lead us toward. And the filling of the Spirit, the knowledge of God's will, enables us to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Now, Paul goes on. You see, there's a colon there, and then it starts a list. We'll get to the list in just a moment. But I want to remind you how we got here. It wasn't because the Colossians worked harder. It wasn't because they tried harder. It wasn't because Paul gave them a list of do's and don'ts. Paul was praying for them that they would receive the understanding and wisdom that comes from the Spirit. God, through the Spirit, gives us wisdom and understanding so we can have a full knowledge of God's will. In other words, holy living, a life worthy of the Lord. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God himself. It is a gift. It is a blessing. Holy living is a blessing from God, not simply an obligation for us to live out. And so then Paul goes on and he begins this list, telling us what this life looks like. First, he says, bearing fruit in every good work. The Spirit within us produces fruit in keeping with repentance. In Galatians, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit that should characterize our very being evident in our good works. The world ought to see this transformation within us. The fullness of the gospel is not simply that we go to heaven when we die, but the fullness of the gospel is that our lives are transformed right now. And then Paul goes on to the second piece, growing in the knowledge of God. Notice, he doesn't say have the knowledge of God, right? This isn't like we've arrived and we get the knowledge of God. It's growing. It's a continual growing in the knowledge of God, just like in any other relationship. Coley and Nancy, you still learn more about each other all the time, right? Right. We grow in our knowledge of each other, and God wants us to grow in our knowledge of him, to get to know him better, to learn more, to continue to be more like him. And just as a side, here's where spiritual growth is so very important in development. Your daily Bible reading, your prayer life, your regular participation in a discipleship class or small group and weekly corporate worship, all of these components are parts of the toolbox that help us to know and continue to grow in our knowledge of God. Well, the third thing Paul talks about is being strengthened with all power. Being strengthened with all power. As we're sanctified, as we grow in grace, as we're continually being filled with the Spirit, we are being made stronger. Strengthening results in patience and endurance, but I want you to catch one particular part. Being strengthened with all. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Paul says we will be strengthened with all power, all of God's resources available. When Almighty God strengthens us, that's a lot of power available to us in times of trial and temptation. Through the Spirit, we are more able to resist temptation, even to the point where we are no longer tempted. Hear this. Even to the point where we are no longer tempted by the things that once tempted us. Isn't that good news? Isn't that a blessing? And then Paul comes to the last of the things the Spirit produces within us. Joyful thanksgiving. Giving joyful thanks. Spirit-filled Christians are to be full of joy and quick to give thanks. Grumbling and complaining, those don't please God. Evident from that long Exodus narrative of the Israelites in the wilderness who always complained about their lot in life. But giving joyful thanks is pleasing to God. Like the one leper who returned to thank Jesus for the miracle. Our lives should be characterized by joy and thanksgiving. Well, then Paul he concludes this list, the characteristics of a life pleasing to God. He does this in verse 12 by identifying the reason for our holy living, sharing in the inheritance of God's holy people in the kingdom of light. We don't get this inheritance because of our own good deeds or even because we've lived a life worthy of the Lord that's pleasing to him. We share in this inheritance because he has qualified us. Because God has qualified us. I didn't qualify myself. I didn't accomplish this. But he has qualified us. All of our holy living, then, as you have heard me say before, is not an effort to earn God's grace. It is not a to-do list to accomplish. But all of our holy living is a response to God's grace, for it is God who has qualified us. Well, that's quite a big run for Paul to go on. How does all this happen is the question we're left with. So let me keep reading in verse 13. How does this happen? He says this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He has rescued. He has brought us. It is in him we find redemption. It is in him we find the forgiveness of sins. The source of our salvation always found in God himself. The response to our salvation is still found in God, for holy living is not something that we perform. It is instead a gift, a blessing. But wait, there's more that God wants to give you. A gift from God through his Spirit. God initiates, we respond. God calls, we follow. God invites us to partner with him. And we live out that life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the source of all this, of course, is the Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the point of all this is that Christianity, the gospel, is not simply a ticket to heaven. It is not simply a get out of jail free card. But that Christianity is about participating in the holiness of God, participating in the divine life of God. It's about fulfilling the call God has placed on your life, in your vocation, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church. It's about fulfilling the invitation God has placed before you. It's not about marking time until the life to come finally gets here, but it's about living out the kingdom life in the here and the now. So one of the clear reminders from this passage, lifelong Nazarenes, this is a good one for us probably, but one of the clear reminders is to talk about the fullness of the gospel as a good thing, as a blessing from God, that holy living is a gift from God. It's not simply an, oh, by the way, we tack on to the end of a salvation message. It's the point of the salvation message. We were not simply saved for heaven, we were saved for holiness here and in heaven, participating in the very life of God, bearing fruit, growing in knowledge, being strengthened, giving joyful thanks. These are those four qualities that Paul lists, defining a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him. These are the things he prays the Colossians will experience as they are filled with the Spirit and given knowledge and wisdom. These are good things, right? These are not obligations. These are not tasks. These are good things God wants to accomplish in us. This is the fullness of our salvation. These are the items that when you open up the box, you discover there's more in the box than you even imagined there was. These are the things that allow Paul to say, but wait, there's more. I want to point out something very important about those four phrases, and I want you to notice how at least the English translation here wraps all four of those words up, the first words. The ing. These are not static words. These are dynamic words. These are words of continuation. These are not words of arrival at a destination as though we are done. These are words of continuing in a process, bearing, knowing, being, giving. These are action words that should characterize our lives. It's not just about having come to an altar and prayed once, right? It's not even just about having come to an altar and prayed twice. It's about living in that relationship with God day in and day out. So I just want to invite you to take a moment and consider those four phrases today. Not in some sort of a guilt-stricken evaluation of yourself, but just take a moment and consider your life. Are these the hallmarks of your Christian experience? Are these the phrases people would use to describe you? And if not, hear me say this. I'm not going to tell you to try harder. Okay? Here's the good news of the gospel. I'm not going to tell you to try harder. I'm not going to tell you to work harder to keep the list of rules. I'm going to tell you what I think Paul would tell you. But wait, there's more. Don't miss out on the blessings of the Spirit-filled life. Don't miss out on the joyful thanksgiving or knowing that your life is fruitful for the kingdom. Don't become stagnant in your walk, but continue to grow and learn more about him. Don't give up in your battle against temptation, but draw upon all of his power that's available to you. But Paul tells us how to go about doing this. It's what he's been doing for the Colossians since the day they first believed. He's been praying for them. He's been praying for them that they would experience God in all of his fullness, that they might receive these gifts, wisdom and understanding that leads to the knowledge of God's will, a life worthy of the Lord, a life that pleases him. So let me just say this. If you find that this has not been your experience of the Christian life, the answer is not to try harder. The answer is to pray and ask God to accomplish within you what God wants to accomplish within you. To fervently ask God for his Spirit to work in your life, to grant you wisdom and understanding, and that you will partner with him on that road, that you will participate in his full salvation life. And as God does that in you, he enables you to live a life worthy of the Lord. He enables you to please him in every way. These are the full blessings. These are the full blessings that God makes available to you through Jesus. This is the fullness of salvation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about how Jesus can make a difference in your life, please email Pastor John at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.